Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, one of the issues that we've been hearing about in our culture today is the issues over race. There's been a number, obviously, of incidents that have appeared recently in the news, and a lot of discussion about the subject of race relations. There's various conferences that are coming shortly on these issues. There's books and different resources that are becoming available. One of them that caught my eye was one that is associated with Answers in Genesis. It's actually published by Masterbooks, www.masterbooks.net, and they're one of the publishing wing, or part of the publishing wing, for Answers in Genesis Ministries. And of course, Ken Ham has been with me on the broadcast very often to talk about a number of other issues. In this particular book, it says this in the overview. It says that the tragic legacy of Darwin's controversial speculations on evolution has led to a terrible consequences taken to the deadliest extremes. One Race, One Blood, which is the title of the book, reveals the origins of the horrors of discrimination, as well as the proof revealed in the Bible that God created only one race. It says in the book that you'll discover how Nazi Germany used evolutionary concepts to justify the extermination of unfit, quote-unquote, people groups such as Jews, Gypsies, and Slavs. And you're also discovering the book the origin of people groups, as it's recorded for us in the scriptures, the genetics of skin color, and what the Bible has to say about interracial, quote-unquote, marriage as well. Within these compelling pages, Dr. A. Charles Ware, who is the president of Crossroads Bible College, and Ken Ham, who's the president of Answers in Genesis, examined the historical roots of racism that have permeated evolutionary thought and the Bible's response to this disturbing issue. Well, we're going to talk with the co-author of the book that I was just referring to. Again, the book is entitled One Race, One Blood, The Biblical Answer to Racism. The co-author of that book joins me now. Dr. Charles Ware is our guest on the program today. And Dr. Ware is an international authority and life coach on race, ethnic reconciliation matters. And Dr. Ware, it's certainly a pleasure to have you with us on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Pastor Kevin. My brother, it's a delight to be able to talk with you today.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you could do it with us as well. I know that you had a couple of other things going on, and I'm glad we could work it out with your schedule. Dr. Ware, I wanted to ask you a few. I gave a brief overview of this book, but why is this book so important, and why was it so important for you to join together with Ken Ham to write this book at this particular time?
Well, a couple of things. Let me mention one of the things you mentioned in the beginning that some people always ask. You know, did racism start with Darwinism? Darwinism, obviously, it's predated that, and we make clear that in the book that Darwinism is not the origin of racism, but it did take the concept and exploded it across the country and the world, as far as that's concerned, in using it. This book we felt was so important because both Ken and I stand on the authority of the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. And so when we're having these discussions, not only in society as a whole, but in the church in particular, we need to get clear biblical direction for speaking to our culture and our churches. And so we wrote this book to give a biblical worldview of the whole concept of race and the racial tensions that we so often seek to address in our country.
Ken starts off in the introduction with this statement. He says, ideas are like seeds. And then he talks about how that Darwin when he was on his exposition there on the Beagle, the title of his ship that he was on, that he came up with this idea. And the idea that he came up with has had very far-reaching consequences, and actually deadly consequences, across history and across the globe. But that same idea about poor ideas or concepts and what they can do in a destructive manner, we can also introduce biblical concepts and ideas that can reverse that trend, right?
Definitely. Jesus said, "You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Amen.
And so we're sowing seeds of the Word of God in the hearts, first of all, of the people of God, and hoping it might spill out to the cultures in which the people of God are located. So we definitely believe in the power of the Word of God to transform us by the renewing of our mind.
Ken writes the first chapter dealing with Darwin's garden then, and there he's looking at the fruit of evolution with respect to racism. So he lays out the case, this ugly face of racism that is shown down through the ages and so forth. But then in chapter two, it brings us up into, takes us, you know, all the way from the garden, all the way up in the 20th and 21st centuries. And there you talk about the history as well, and of the abuse and the misuse of the Bible being used in order to justify this. Speak about that chapter two, a little bit, and what you write. Give our listening audience a little bit of a sense of what they'll find when they read that chapter.
Yes, one of my passions as an African-American, black, or whatever you want to call me, but I'm a Christian first and foremost. But as I entered into the arena of the Christian community in 1968, when I came to faith in Christ, it wasn't long before I had this sense of the segregated church, not segregated legally, but segregated, I guess, voluntarily. And then as I began to study this subject more, I began to find out that the church segregation was not just happenstance, but many theologians of the past, preachers of the past, and even today still say, have used the scriptures to support segregation of so-called racial groups, and have been silent, if not complicit, in the oppression of certain racial groups, and African Americans here, but in our country at the Trail of Tears with the Cherokee Nation. Just a lot of things, and they're saying, well, the Bible says, you know, Ham was black and Ham is cursed, so black people have to serve white people, and on we go, and some of the, during the civil rights struggle, segregation, Ku Klux Klan defined themselves as a Christian organization and supported Jim Crow laws and all of that. So I began to ask the question, you know, is this biblical or is it not? And I began to study the scriptures, and I found out that a lot of scriptures was misinterpreted, misapplied, and therefore the church was misdirected. And the way to correct that was not to say that socially, culturally, we have evolved, and therefore the church needs to jump on the cultural wagon, because they have the culture had a philosophical foundation and worldview contrary to the scriptures. So the thing to do was go to the same text and get a proper interpretation with a proper application for a proper direction of the people of God to manifest before watching world that we're the disciples of Christ by our love one for another. So in that chapter, we go through and we identify a lot of policies from churches, actions from churches, scriptures used by leaders to promote so-called racial segregation, and definitely to prohibit interracial marriage.
Do you think that most people are quite ignorant of just the blatant racism that was involved in Darwin's views, especially in his book, The Origin of Species, and so forth?
Oh, definitely. I believe that most people are ignorant. Either one of two things, ignorant or forgetful. We are good forgetters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I was in school, going through school, I remember studying the evolution of man from the ape and right on up, and you got the Aborigines and the Negroid down there until you get up to Caucasians, which were the most advanced.
Mm.
And you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if you're in one of those lower groups, you're inferior. And that is what was taught, that is what was promoted, and that is what was practiced. And you even had the bell curve to bring in scientific proof that blacks' brains, their capacity of learning was lower than whites, so on and so forth. So, you know, it's there. A lot of people, like I said, ignorant of it, and especially today when we promote that we just want equality for everybody, and science proves this and proves that. Ignorance, and once somebody says, if you tell a person a lie long enough, they'll believe it is truth, and we've done a good job through our media of promoting lies and having people believe it.
It's so ironic that the same people that very often, it seems, in our society or our culture today that are promoting Darwinian theology, basically, or Darwinian philosophy, let me put it that way, when they're promoting that, they're also the same people that are seem to be calling the loudest for race relations and for anti-discrimination efforts and so forth. And yet they seem to be completely oblivious to the fact of just how racist Darwin himself was. I mean, I could barely even read half of the quotes that he had made about other races that he had written down in his book. And yet I don't think that very, very few people know some of the statements that he made and just how racist he was. Same thing with Margaret Sanger.
Exactly.
And
yes, I was
extremely
thinking about
that. Racist as well. And yet these ones that are held up in such high esteem in our culture today, they're just blatantly racist. In the book, in Chapter 5 specifically, you deal with the issue of one blood. And you reveal there in that chapter then what the word race truly means. Tell our listening audience, or just give them a little bit of an idea of what you look at in that chapter.
Well, one of the things that Ken and I wanted to talk about is the Bible talks more about people groups, so on and so forth, and race is kind of, in America, has become more of a cultural concept. I mean, even like you look at the President of the United States, you say, well, he's an African-American, he's black, whatever you want to call him. Well, why is he? Because his mother was white. Mm. But you've got a culture where the Supreme Court of the United States says, a certain percentage of black blood makes you black or Negroid at that time. And so we got all of these concepts going around, and even when you get on the Census Bureau, you can self-identify what race are you. And so it's no scientific proof there, so on and so forth. So we deal with ethnic people groups and the concept that all of us come from God, who created Adam and Eve, and all humanity comes from Adam and Eve, so we're all related in one way or another. We may have cultural differences, But this so-called racial, the way our society uses it, is really a term that defies definition in any scientific basis.
Mm. You guys in Chapter 6 then speak about one flesh, and you apply the biblical and scientific principles to marriage and dating relationships. Some people would say because there is diversity in the pigmentation of the skin, because there's diversity in the cultural background, then these people from different races shouldn't get married. But in the book, you point out that's not the case from the biblical record, right?
Not at all. Not at all. God is interested in interfaith marriages. A Christian should not be marrying an unsaved person, and that's unified in our belief in God and His Word. And you know, people make an assumption. You say, well, you're darker skin, you're darker hue, so you couldn't get along with a person with a lighter hue, a white person, let's say. Well, when you think of a person with a darker skin growing up in inner city Harlem and a person of darker skin growing up on a farm in Iowa, their cultures are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you can't just break it down by color. So what we need to do is stick with the Bible. Saved shouldn't marry unsaved, and as far as I'm concerned, immature Christians shouldn't be, mature Christians shouldn't be marrying an immature Christian. We should look for people committed to the Word of God, living out the Word of God, and demonstrating to a watching world that we are His disciples by our love one for another.
Mm. You use a great term in chapter 7, where this relates more to how the church is reacting specifically to these issues. Unfortunately, the church seems to, in so many different ways, take their cue from the world
yes.
rather than from the Word of God, and that's always a problem. But in this particular issue, they seem to focus in on race relations.
Mm-hmm.
But you say in chapter 7, we need to think more about grace relations. I love that term. Expound that a little bit, if you would, please.
Amen, my brother. That's a biblical term. We talk about grace relations. We have to get beyond the shame and blame game. Grace is sufficient to cover all the issues we have because we're saved by the grace of God. We're sanctified by the grace of God. We serve by the grace of God. And when I consider the grace of God, I tell people there's enough sin to go around for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have sinned, so we can confess that sin, seek forgiveness of that sin. We can move towards trust and building healthy relationship with people who once were our enemies. I spoke in a place once, I remember, and after I spoke on this subject, a white gentleman waited in line, came up, and he's quite larger than I was, probably about 250, maybe 300 pounds. But he looked at me and he said, "Brother, I was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, but God has saved me. You are my brother." And we just embraced and hugged one another. That is the grace of God.
Amen. You know, one of my favorite books, especially in the New Testament, obviously, but the book of Philemon.
Yes.
And there the Apostle Paul dealing with the runaway slave Onesimus and then trying to encourage Philemon. Well, what does he encourage him with? He encourages him with the gospel.
Amen.
In fact, the words that he uses in that book is it could be taken right out of the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul in chapter 5 was using terminology associated with the concepts of justification by faith. And he says, if he owes anything to your church, put it on my account.
Mm-hmm.
I will repay you. Well, that's what Christ did for us. He took all our demerit upon him, and he gave us all of his merit so that we can stand in his righteousness before our holy God of heaven. And Paul now is implementing that gospel message in how he reaches out to other people. He doesn't see him as a slave. He sees him as a soul. He doesn't see him as black or white or yellow or green. He sees him as a soul that needs to be saved. And that's how we should see people as well, right?
Amen. The grace of God. We just had a group of our students, I think about 8 of our students, with one of our professors white. He had some of the black students, white students, and I think he had Burmese student in the group. And they went up to churches north of us, and they spoke on this very issue. The church wanted them to speak on race issues. So they spoke about the Word of God and where we are. And then they had our students take about 2 minutes each and talk about. Some couple came out of prison. One white fellow was in prison for a while. And they had different background experiences. But their unity was in Jesus Christ and how, as a school, our mission statement is training Christian leaders to reach a multi-ethnic urban world for Christ here at Crossroads. And our students was testifying that's being lived out on our campus and holding that up before another church. I just love it. It's the grace of God.
Amen. And the gospel transcends all of these other human divisions that are made. The Bible talks about, you know, that there's neither Jew nor Greek. And I can't stand all this segregation that takes place in our churches, you know, where we say, well, this person can't relate to this person because they're different. And this person, you know, if they're age different, we've got to segregate them out. If we've got all the young married couples got to go over here, young married couples with children got to go over here, seniors got to go over here. Listen, the gospel transcends all of that, and it brings its own culture along with it. I love in that you come full circle then in Chapter 8 to talk about new seeds need to be sown. What are those new seeds?
Amen. We want to build seeds where people have been transformed by the gospel, like you said, and build relationships that speaks of the power of the gospel, where we see one another as Christ sees each other through the Word of God and embrace one another and build relationships with one another. See, one of the problems we got as a church, we can talk a good line, but we can't walk it. So the watching world looks at us and say, I hear y'all talking about this gospel, how strong it is, but you can't even talk to one another. You can't even work together with one another. So don't talk to me. But here in Indianapolis, when a predominantly black church in the inner city of Indianapolis invites a suburban white church that are bringing some of their members to be trained to go into the Indianapolis public schools to mentor kids, a cameraman from the news media who came to cover it asked that he could come on his day off to film it. And what he said to the black pastor, he put himself out and said, is this for real? He said, yeah, it's for real. He said, man, I asked to be able to come see this because I have never seen a black and white church working together.
Wow.
I'm saying that's the power of the gospel. That's the new seeds. We don't need to join the world. We need to lead the world in a better way.
Amen. I made reference to the idea of Philemon and Paul's admonition to him. Well, apparently he took his admonition, and we find out that the church at Colossae became the first church in the New Testament scripture to receive slaves in the full membership. And I just can't help but thinking, can you imagine Philemon and Onesimus sitting there holding the same hymnal and singing praises unto God in the same church? And that was a testimony. People saw that, and the rest of the church responded as well, and I think it spread much further than that as well. Dr. Ware, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this book. Thanks for working together with Ken on writing this book. I pray that God would mightily use it in order to bring about real gospel-oriented understanding, a biblical answer to racism in our day. I think it is certainly needed.
Well, thank you, my brother. All to the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. Thanks again. That was Dr. Ware. We've been talking with him about the book that's entitled One Race, One Blood, A Biblical Answer to Racism. And Dr. Ware, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, he is he's actually the president of the Crossroads Bible College in Indianapolis. And he also serves as a pastor of the college mission-modeled Crossroads Bible Church. And so he's got a full plate. He's got a lot of other things that he's involved in and other things that he has written. But the book, again, is called One Race, One Blood, Ken Ham and A. Charles Ware. You can get a copy of it out at the website for Master Books. They're the publishing arm of Answers in Genesis. And their website is www.masterbooks.net. That's www.masterbooks.net, where you can find a copy of that book. Remember, and Dr. Ware quoted this during the broadcast, but remember this, Jesus said, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.